This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Jim is here. Jim's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Wolves win last night at home against Philly. Fly to Charlotte. All sorts of weather conditions. What time did you leave Signature, and when did you get to the hotel?
Let me see here. I'm just looking back at when I texted my wife. I think we're still on the ground at 12:15. I don't think we got in the air until like 1:15. It was kind of scary up in the air.
Really?
It was the turbulence was the turbulence was
very windy.
It was very, very turbulent. It was I don't fly well. You know what I mean? I'm not Randy Whitman shaky,
yeah.
But I'm pretty shaky. You remember, like, you know.
Oh, Randy was awful. Yeah.
You could hear Randy screaming up in the coaches section up
yes.
there, like when we'd have
correct.
These drops and stuff. But it was also super windy when we were landing. So, I didn't get to bed till 5:30. Yeah, you don't miss that, do you, Chad?
No, I miss the games.
Yeah,
I don't miss that. I mean, I don't miss the waiting around. That's number one, which I don't miss. The waiting and the waiting and the waiting. But yeah, that's no fun. Okay, texting topic here. When is there any time during the night? If you're traveling, you will not text Tika. Like, if something comes up, would you send Tika, your wife, a text at like 3:47 in the morning?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I was texting her last night. I knew she was asleep when I was texting her. I just was saying, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you just think about, like, you hear these stories that when there are mishaps in the air and stuff like that, people trying to communicate with loved ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just wanted to... I wasn't expecting any drama because, like, you know, turbulence is just part of the game. And, you know, it's just so rare that anything happens. But, yeah, I was texting her. I was giving her the play-by-play as we were, you know, going through all this drama up in the
okay.
air. Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry that happened. How about just, okay, it's a normal topic. You know, you're on the West Coast. She's in Minnesota. You're clubbing. You're a big clubber, and it's 1:30, and you've just finished. So it's 3:30 back home. Will you text her then? Hey, just want to let you know what I did, or do you think
100%.
No, 100%. Okay,
yeah.
We're in multiple texting threads, and we also text. Do you feel like with a friend, a good friend, there's a cutoff for a texting time?
Yes. I don't tend to text in any of the threads. No, I don't do that. And, you know, but, you know, there are times, though, when I'm on different time zones where,
yes,
And you're in that situation now. And I was just in that situation where I was on the West Coast. And I don't know, I was texting with Jeff Muniki late, who's back in Minneapolis, and he had sent a text thread. He was telling me to watch the Yacht Rock.
It's very good.
Yeah. Did you see it? Did you watch it?
I did. I gave it, I would say it started very good, and I don't know if it stayed at the level. I wanted a little bit more. If you love Michael McDonald, you're going to love it because he's the main character.
Yes, and it was. I thought it was very good. And then the Christopher Cross little
not bad
nuggets that were dropped. I mean, the fact that he wrote on Acid. What was the song he wrote on? He wrote Ride with the Wind on Acid, and then he
That's right.
The whole thing about sailing song was about his relationship with his father. I mean, like, it was very interesting.
It's
and then,
definitely worth watching.
Absolutely. So I was texting with Mune late night. So I was like, so it was probably midnight in L.A. when I was texting with him. And he responded. So you just never
what
know.
Is the, yeah, that's true. What is the, okay. When I was traveling, the food was, at times the food could be good if the folks picked up from a local a restaurant in the town we were at. Other times the food was garbage. We're in all sports now, we're much more thinking about nutrition and the right time to eat. So what was the food like last night on a late night adventure to Charlotte?
It was very good. It was very good. Options like Grady's a pescatarian, so he had multiple options, which is always good. But he had a crab cake, and then pescatarians only like fish basically, right? So and so then there was a sea bass option for him. I had steak. No, it was good. Like the food on the plane has definitely been upgraded. It's better than it used to be when you were flying with us. They do as you said, they do themed. If we're on the road, if we're on like a 4-game road trip, we'll get food themed sometimes, like barbecue in Texas, and we'll get Asian in San Francisco or something. They'll mix it up that way. So it's very good. Now, I just was saying this to Grady last night because, Grady, this is our third year together. And, I've been doing this for 27 years. And so I was just telling him that of all the cities in the NBA, Charlotte is probably my least familiar. Yep. We probably, if you think about just total day
in and out
in a season, I've spent probably the least amount of time in this city.
I agree.
And it was awful when they had the old arena before they moved it to New Orleans.
Yes.
The old arena was like in the middle of nowhere. And
Correct.
Now we're like really downtown Charlotte, Chad. And downtown Charlotte, there's nothing down here. Like it's
no, Charlotte does nothing. I have friends who go there and they keep telling me it's fun. I'm like, no, you're wrong. There's nothing. Last thing, and then we'll break. How about Nutter Butters? Are the Nutter Butters still on the plane? Because that was the key. The Nutter Butter is so underrated.
No. The nutrition part of it, they have the snacks aren't as fun. The coaching section does have a basket of like a potpourri of like really good sugary like candy, but it's only there. You can't. It's in the coaches section. If you are walking by, because when you get on the plane, you're not at the front like normal passenger planes. You're sort of going in like behind first class, and so the players are in first class. So we never walk past the players ever, and you walk past the coaches section and then get back to our section in the back. So when you walk past the
coaching
table,
section,
there's M&Ms, there's Snickers, there's Kit Kats, there's that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? Like legit, like candy, like that's right there. Take them if you want to. I mean, I do not take any on the way in to my seat. If it's
but
there,
on the way out,
if it's already been picked through, there's something there. I might grab a few things. But
okay, how about?
I'm not going to be seen pulling from the coaches. candy box like on the way. Not doing that.
The difference is too, when I broadcast games, there was like five coaches. Now there's 500 coaches. So I mean, it's just every player has seven coaches. Yeah. It's just craziness. All right, let's talk a little basketball, Jim Pete. When we come back on CCO, but I'm going to talk about Pella Windows and Doors. How about the fact that Pella has been so successful, so good at what they do, that this year, 2025, they are celebrating 100 years in business. That is amazing. And when you think of this place, what do you think of you? Excellence, innovation, quality, reliability. And for me, as I've said many times, lived in a home for almost two decades, Pella Windows and Doors, when I bought the place. Then last year, through this partnership, working with Pella, visited the Plymouth showroom multiple times, upgraded my kitchen and upgraded windows throughout the house. Great decision. I'm moving. I'm finally moving. And the place I'm moving into, of course, Pella Windows and Doors. Here's the thing. Pella Windows and Doors are made to order just for you. Styles, features, options that will work for your project and your budget. How about some of the strongest warranties in the business? This is a significant investment, so you want those warranties to hold up. Now, you can go to the showroom. I mentioned Plymouth. You also have Woodbury. You have Fargo. You have Eau Claire. You have Rochester. They also offer, and I did this too, a free, no-obligation, in-home consultation to review what you need. This is a great time. This is until March 13th. Great offer from PellaNorthland.com. 0% APR for 72 months or 40% off installation. Think about that one. 40% off installation. That's fantastic. PellaNorthland.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right back with Jim Peterson. You can check out Jim and Michael Grady tonight, FanDuel Sports, Wolves and Charlotte. Okay, what are your thoughts now since Dante DiVincenzo came back Saturday? You've had multiple. Now, how many? And Dante's played, what, three games, right? So he's been back for three games. You don't have Rudy back. You have Randall back. What are your thoughts on how this has worked out so far with Chris Finch and the younger players, and how is it going to change again when Rudy returns?
Good question. Dante's been back four games, by the way. He came back against the Lakers. Okay. So, yeah, it's Lakers, Utah, Phoenix, Philly. I think he's got a tough job. I was talking with some of the staff, coaches, because the messaging part of this, you know, when you're the team broadcaster, I mean, nobody tells me what to say, but at the same time, you don't want to burn anybody, right? You don't want to start like throwing out narratives that they don't like, that won't mm-hmm. happen, or that might make it counterproductive for them. And Finchie also gets a little bit, you know, like you can hear sometimes in the pre or post game pressers that he gets kind of perturbed with guys, especially when they start telling him at the beginning of the season when he had an 8-man rotation who he should be playing. You know what I mean?
That's clear.
When they were telling him that he needed to play Rob or he needed to play Terrence, Finchie didn't want to hear all that. I don't want to sit there and go, yeah, you know, Nas should be the starter and Julia should come off the bench. You know, I'm not doing that. Okay. Not doing that.
Well, that's my next question. Okay. And by the way, I had Chris on last week and he was great. I'm in a different role now. I offer opinions. I thought he should have played the younger players a little bit more, but he is resolute on, and you know this better than me, you got to earn it. You got to earn it for a while before he's going to reward you.
And Chad, that's so refreshing because so many coaches just hand these guys playing time. And back in my era of NBA basketball, you had to earn it too. You had to earn it. Yeah. I mean, you had to earn a starting job. You weren't just, because you were a first round draft pick, you weren't just handed a starting job. And so there's a certain amount of, these players feel entitled to a certain extent. And I think that once you finally start getting the playing time, you've earned it and you're going to appreciate it more and try to hold on to it and work for it. So, these guys do work hard. Finchie, I just think that way that Dante was integrated back in was so good because, I mean, he came back in firing all cylinders. Even though we lost those first two games, I mean, it wasn't because Dante didn't do his part. And then these last two games, he's just been phenomenal. The game in Phoenix, he was the game changer. He, before he got hurt, he was the starter. They had moved Mike to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And Dante was a starter, and he played so well in those, you know, six games before he got hurt as a starter. And Mike's going to be out tonight, so, you know, I'm sure Dante will get the start again, and we'll, you know, and who knows what happens. But, you know, that's
well, can thing. I jump
I
in on that?
I just don't think Finchie knows for sure what's going to happen.
I
didn't hear a segment. Is that basically what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said, you know, because asked him. I asked him about the young guys. I asked him about, you know, Nas and Julius. And he said, I don't want to get too far ahead. I want to see what happens because injuries do happen. I'll say this, you know, it's a given. Mike Conley hasn't played up to his previous standard, and Mike's not a kid, right? So age in that – I apologize for that. And the rest have played a part. But as well as Dante has played, and because you said it, and you're 1,000% correct, because he was starting before he was injured, I fully expect when he starts tonight, he's staying in the starting lineup. Wouldn't you expect that?
I would expect that just because he was starting. So it's not like this is going to be some groundbreaking thing. And then having Mike play against second-line players was working pretty good for him. I thought he played pretty well in organizing that second unit and, you know, letting him play against second line players. I don't mind that. It's like, but the synergy that, that Ant has and the space that he has on the floor when Nas is out there versus when Julius is out there is significant. And then, I mean, you could see it even when Dante was out there with Ant too against the Phoenix Suns, when Dante was draining 8 threes in that game. You can leave Dante if you want to, but I just think that when you have Nas, now Jaden's a different player, and you have Nikhil out there and Dante out there, you got guys that you have to stay hugged up to. You can't leave these guys in the corner. And so Ant's just going to have more room, which just benefits Anthony Edwards more. So, he's got decisions to make. And if he moves Nas back to the bench, and that's where Nas is going to be, and it's going to be Julius and Rudy in the starting lineup, I wouldn't be surprised by that. If they move Julius to the bench and then keep Nas in there, I wouldn't be surprised by that. So I just think that you got to be flexible. I'm not going to have any preconceived notion. All I know is is, and I was telling, I tell broadcasters this, because you know how you chat with the other broadcasters. Mm-hmm. I think that we are kind of like a sleeping giant a little bit. I think that we're deeper now. I think that we've gone through this rough patch. I think that, you know, we've got a top 8 net rating as a team. So we're a much better team than our record says, and we've lost so many close games. This season could be so much different right now. We could be in the top 6 very easily, and we still can be. So I'm super bullish where we are right now, Chad, especially getting Dante back playing at a high level, getting Julius back playing at a high level. And I think you can see that we can be effective in the Western Conference, can't you? You can see that.
Yeah, it's out there. I'll just say, because, again, I have a different role. I would start Nas. I would let Julius play off the bench with Mike and really empower Julius. And he's still going to play 25, 30 minutes. You know, it's a little bit like the Gopher basketball team, where the Gopher basketball team keeps winning on the road and losing at home to inferior teams. The Wolves can play great against teams, and they can lose to mediocre teams, you know. Now, in the playoffs, you're only going to play the better teams. Who knows how healthy everybody is? But let's get to the last guy. Let's get to Rudy. What are you hearing on Rudy's return? Because it's a back, and that's obviously concerning, especially a man of his size. He for sure is going to start. How does he fit in with the way the team is playing of late?
Great question. His you know, back spasms is something you've had them, so you know how debilitating they can be. He's been ramping up though. Like I would assume his status is still out for this game, but when you see him become questionable, that's when you know that he's probably coming back. Rudy's going to be Rudy. He's going to be anchoring the defense. He's going to be being an amazing screen setter. He's going to be the guy that is like a hub at the top of the floor when they throw it out to him, and he's able to, you know, screen and rescreen guys to get him open. He's going to be Rudy. You have to play him. He's too much of a defensive weapon. And offensively, I just think that he doesn't get enough credit for all the stuff that he does to get guys open and to create easy shots for people. So, I think that, you know, Finchie's going to have to get a rotation of 9 or 10, because you still want to play Terrence, right? You still want to.
He's got a spot to play.
Yes, he does. Jalen has to play. So I think Rob doesn't have to play unless you don't play Mike. You know, if something were to happen to Mike or whatever, it's like then Rob plays. But if no injury, it's Mike and then no Rob, and you have to play Terrence, and then you got to go 9 or 10.
He has to play. I think Jalen plays. It depends a little bit on the opponent. He's just been so good defensively. Let me get to one other issue with the Wolves, and then we'll let you go. Anthony Edwards. Right, and his scoring numbers at times this year have been spectacular. But how does he balance, in your view, outside of just getting older? And by the way, he's 23, and he's in his fifth year. How does he continue to play with the zest, the enthusiasm, the verve, but not the silliness of the technical fouls? Because 16, way too soon, and so many of them, you sit there and you watch and you're like, what are you doing? Right? The Phoenix stuff was, what are you doing? How do they do that where he doesn't lose the je ne sais quoi, but he also doesn't do, like, what are you doing, man? How do they balance that?
I don't know. I think that, you know, part of getting over and becoming better is the referees just kept screwing him over. I mean, Chad, like look. Like, I could show you a clip. There was and we had the replay of it, of him getting fouled by Devin Booker. He got hit on his arm so hard as he went up and played through contact and made a layup. And Booker completely slaps his elbow, and Ant goes crazy. And then they literally Bradley Beal takes two hands, and you saw the play. I mean, they two hands shoved him to the ground, and they didn't even call the foul. And then it ended up being a flagrant one. Like, these kinds of things happen to Ant on a constant basis, and then you see how Shea Gilgeous-Alexander's refereed, and it's just not, and that's all Ant is saying. So I think part of it is, like, yes, he has to get more mature. But second of all, I think that he has to be refereed correctly. It's very frustrating to see him not get the calls. As much as he's going to the free throw line now, they miss so many calls with him that they're not seeing. It's very frustrating. So I get it with
them. The tough thing is, though, and there are some bad calls. There are other calls where I think he complains too much. But he's earned that reputation. Fair or not, he's getting the quicker whistle now, and he doesn't want to have that.
No, you're right. I mean, it's just a process. But, you know, has Luka changed? Like, you know, we talk about, I mean,
no.
Luka is
no,
is,
he's
is
off.
Luka wor- is, Luka, is Luka wor- is Luka worse than Ant?
Oh, by far. He's the worst I've ever watched in my life. Magnificent play. I with Meehan, I have to look away at times. It's like, just play, Luka. My God. Yeah, and he gets away with way more than Ant. There's no doubt.
Yeah, see, that's the other thing, too. But the only thing is, Ant is just a little bit more vulgar with his complaining,
yes.
I think Luka,
right.
Luka is always like trying to, you know, show the referees up by, you know, slapping his own arms and, slapping both of them and slapping them, you know, and he may not even say much, you know, but Lant is just a little more vulgar, which, you know what, he needs to learn how to be a little bit more, use a little more diplomacy maybe. And like during a free throw mm-hmm. situation, if you want to air your grievance, air it to a referee
Subtle.
In a calm way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like that's how the true locker room lawyers and the true complainers, like Chris Paul was a master at that, right? He would, because he knew the rules too. That's the other thing the referees would say about Chris Paul. There's no one that complained more than Chris Paul. Chris Paul complained way more than Luka Doncic, but he did it in a way that was way more diplomatic. He knew the rules, first of all. So he would go over and, you know, talk about to the referees and he would see who knew what. And then he knew all the rules too. So he would have they would gain his respect. So, I mean, Ant needs to do maybe just a little bit more of that. Get a little bit more diplomacy in his game.
Excellent as always. Enjoy the game tonight. Play well tomorrow, and we'll talk soon.
Thank you, bud. Okay, see ya.
Jim Peterson, two news updates. No significant gas or carbon monoxide leaks found in Gene Hackman's home. So what the hell happened? And about 45 minutes ago, the Trump administration, and the stock market has enjoyed it, delaying tariffs on automobiles with Mexico and Canada for at least a month. Not all tariffs, but on the automobile side. This after a Trump-Trudeau conversation earlier in the day. The Dow is up over 500. NASDAQ's over for 257. To quote John Williams, good job, Dow. Susie next.
Well, guess who's joining us today?
Susie Gage.
Not even she knows what she'll say.
Susie Gage.
If you cross her, she will set you straight.
Susie Gage.
Or she might be looking for a date.
Susie Gage. It's time for Susie Gage.
Susan K. Jones here. I have a serious topic for you, and I have a lighthearted topic for you, and I want you to pick the sequence. Do you want to go serious or silly?
Then I have two topics for you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Let's start with the serious for you.
Okay. Go. You go first.
Oh, no, I want
you,
you
to go first.
Yeah.
Okay. The number of younger women who were surveyed and are concerned about toxic masculinity and also about just overall young men is pretty stunning to me. This is 18 to 24 from the Center of Social Justice. 62% of young women believe most young men, again, 62% of young women believe most young men are pretty frightening. And then to add to it, 41% agree with their female counterparts. What is your reaction when you think about that?
I would say it doesn't surprise me. To be quite honest, I have a daughter.
Yep.
And I have experienced her going through a dating game or so over the years, and it's slim pick. I mean, you hesitate. Of course there are good men out there. I believe it in my mm-hmm. heart.
Yep.
But it's hard to find. It's also, so we're in tough times right now. Everybody's insecure. There's so much we don't know. And so the only way to kind of get through that, if you're anybody, but particularly if you're a young man, is to puff up. Put your shoulders back. You know, you think young girls get it on social media. I bet social media does a number on guys in their 20s.
Certainly.
You know, where you got to look this way. You got to have this much muscle. You got to have this much money. You got to live in this kind of a place. So you might come off like a jerk because you're just not being honest. That's the key.
Or you are a jerk. Right.
Oh, I hope underneath all the jerk, there's a little bit of good. But yeah, maybe.
I do, too. Listen, if this survey would have said 80% believe, you know, they deal with toxic men and pretty frightening on a regular basis, that wouldn't have surprised me. Mm-hmm. But again, I'm just going to read it. 62% of young women believe most. OK, so most is what? 60-70%, something
mm-hmm.
like that.
Mm hmm.
Most young men are pretty frightening. That is a sad statement.
And do they say frightening, like seriously physically afraid of the person that they might hurt them?
It's a little bit of that, right?
Mm.
But if you're a female and you're 18 to 24, and you're going about your day and you're in a class or you're at a restaurant or a coffee shop or wherever you might be, and you either are on your own wanting to interact with men or men are interacting with you when you really don't want it, and you're now saying that most young men are pretty frightening, we are doing something wrong. Whether it's what's going on with men, what's going on, which is convincing men to act this way, how women feel that way, they genuinely feel that way, that some are also almost being told to feel that way, what trauma is caused to feel that way. That is an indictment about what's going on. And by the way, that 41% of young men are also saying most young men are pretty frightening.
So they know their buddies, yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know. I agree with you, man. We got work to do. And unfortunately, we're not really in a climate right now that supports and nurtures women and women's rights and feelings in general.
Yes.
That's Dave, not the message we're getting, right, Dave?
No, we're not going to. Dave, as a father of two adorable daughters, when you hear this, what do you think?
They are adorable. It's in the genes, clearly.
Had to throw that in.
Their mother.
Either way, that's fine.
Yeah.
It frightens me. It absolutely frightens me, and it didn't take this to frighten me about what the future could bring, because I know, you know, I think we've all heard from, you know, news stories over many, many years and studies and, you know, just what sexual assaults rates are like and just, you know, violent behavior in dating and it absolutely terrifies me, and I'm not planning to get a whole lot of sleep by the time they're of, you know, dating age in high school and college, because, I will be afraid. And I think the whole, you know, just this survey, those numbers probably inflated a little bit just because we've been talking about toxic masculinity in the news and, you know, in the media for the last couple of years. So, it's probably inflated a little bit, but you're also talking about people that are living it every day. So, they're also the ones experiencing it, and maybe there is a reason to have a healthy fear, or at least a healthy worry when it comes to choosing a man you may date as a young woman.
Yeah, it's dating. It's when it is as egregious, as awful, as criminal, as an attack, and then it's also just every day where someone is harassing you or leering at you or treating you dismissively when you're just trying to go on a bike ride.
And I think, yeah, I really get this so much because I think, again, if you haven't lived it, you don't understand it. But inherently, yeah, there are things
that's
that
so true.
Women do and other minorities, people of color, I know do this, that if you are traditionally prey for someone, you know, I say, you mm-hmm. know, you don't walk down the sidewalk alone. You, if you get in an elevator and you're the only one with a man, you get out and take the next one. I mean, there are just sort of basic protective measures that are a little bit baked into your DNA.
Yep.
That say, and you guys don't understand that because that's
I
not
don't have
your,
to do that.
No.
I don't.
And you know, okay, well, good thing you now you do know, so you can be maybe a little bit more compassionate. But, I mean, this has been going on. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, I remember during the Me Too movement, which, goodness sakes, where's that? But there was a prosecutor. No, there was a defense attorney in town here who was defending one of the sports, an athlete from one of the teams in town. And he was talking about the allegations and that the female had texted him and that the female had said she not remembered at XYZ. And I remember just I turned into like a mother. I said, what are you talking about at the press conference? I said, do you understand anything of what's going on these days? I said, people that are victims are traumatized. You know, they might forget something.
Yeah.
My God. I was so mad at that guy. I can see him to this day. I think Rochelle Olson came up and gave me a high five after putting him in his place. But, you know, there is that arrogance that, again, is it toxic toxic masculinity, entitlement? A lot going on there.
All right, I'm going to get to my lighter topic, but I don't want to break. I don't want to go right to it because it's very different than what we
do. Do you want to break now or talk about your happy thing?
Yeah, we'll break now because all I want is such nonsense. It's an odd transition. So the commercial break will give us a little transition.
I love
it. More with Susie in a matter of moments. Don't forget Dean Phillips early next hour on CCO. Susie, according to this survey, nearly a quarter of Americans pee in the shower on a regular basis.
Okay. Yeah, that would have been a hard turn. People. That would have been a tough turn from toxic masculinity to peeing in the shower.
Yes.
The thing is, I want to know how many said they did?
So it's 2,000 Americans revealed. That was the total poll. 12 do so daily, while another 12% a few times every week. Does that number seem about right to Susie Jones, pee expert?
Pee expert Susie Jones says it's low. I think everybody tinkles a little in the shower, myself included. And if anyone's going to give me crap for it, they can stick it up their nose.
Yes.
Tinkling in the shower is perfectly normal. Perfectly fine. You're in the shower. There's water. If you feel a little uncomfortable, get a little. Hopefully, you got a little soap and a little wash rag in that shower with you.
Yeah.
Feel like there
you
might
should.
Be a little untidy. Maybe take a little soap. No big deal. I think it's one of the joys of the world. Peeing in the shower.
Okay. Are you a daily or are you a few times every week?
Probably a few times every week. I mean, it's. Here's the issue. Now we're really getting into it. Jeez, Chad.
Yes.
Can't even believe it.
Yeah.
If I have gone to the toilet before I shower, then there's a chance there's not going to be a tinkle. If for some reason I've postponed the inevitable, or maybe I've gone tinkle at 6 in the morning and now it's 8 in the morning, there might be a tinkle. There's never a river. I don't just open up.
Okay,
I don't have my first bathroom experience.
Okay, so I don't go pee in
the shower.
Okay, so
as a way of getting
you're having
rid
a lot
of, it.
Of water, you know, or whatever, you know, we know it's not alcohol, and you shower and you're like, oh, I gotta go a lot.
Well, then I'm getting out of the shower, and even though I'm buck naked and dripping wet, I slip all over the toilet seat and I let her go in the toilet.
What's the difference?
I'm not gonna pee a river in the shower. Here's the other issue. Could have a little residual stink. I am such a smell snob. I don't know if you know that about me.
Yes, I do.
I was sick 2-3 days ago, and I still feel like I can smell it in the house. You know, I threw up. And I hate that smell so much.
Oh, that smells
terrible. And I walked in, I'm like, I did all my laundry last night because I don't want it any more sick around me. Because I feel like I look pretty cute today, right, Dave?
You look fabulous.
Well, I'm going to tell
you. Always look good.
But I have a special event, I think, tonight, maybe tomorrow.
Okay, well, we need to get that. Hang on. By gender, 30% of men regularly pee, 20% of women. In total, 45% of Americans pee in the shower throughout the course of the average year. That's low. Come
Way
on.
Low.
It's got to be a
admitting.
Little high.
But why are you embarrassed about that? Not a big deal. Good
I'm
Lord.
Not.
Golly
exactly.
Gee, come
All
on.
Right. What's going on tonight?
Okay. Here's me. This is how I operate. This is, if you want to have a look deeper into the soul of Susie Jones.
Yeah.
Our friend, Wayne Kostrowski.
Oh, yeah. One of the best.
Called me several months ago and said, yeah. We would like to honor you as a broadcaster at the Taste of the Twin Cities event. Which is taking place at the Renaissance Minneapolis Hotel, the Depot, downtown Minneapolis. And I haven't even said anything about it.
Yeah.
And I haven't, well, Lindsay and Brad know, maybe Jeff.
Wait, is this happening tonight?
I think it is.
What? What do you mean you think it is?
Well,
come on, idiot.
Listen.
I'm mad that I'm not going
to
be there.
I know, because you know what? Can I say something to you?
Yeah.
Not that you could ever pull it off, but I don't have a date. And he said, do you want to bring someone? And I'm like, no, I'll just come by myself. But if you were on my arm, oh, we would have an evening.
I would have loved it.
You could have been right on my, even whoever you're with right now, she wouldn't care.
Yeah.
And then we would just tool about the room like My Fair Lady. And
yeah,
we'd be gabbing with this person and that. So nine women in broadcasting and communications and food are all kind of coming together. And I'm one of the nine.
Well, that is awesome and richly deserved. And I'm proud of you. And I know how great you are. And I love you. And any of these dopes who ever say, oh, you and Susie don't get along. You're a dope. You have no idea. We get along great.
We do. We kid a lot.
That's part of fun.
So I have one thing to tell you and Dave.
Yeah.
Salih Volzvik is hosting, right? Or she's the MC.
Another great person.
I love her. Anyway, she reached out and said, I need to get a couple of lines to do like a little bio on you. So I said, my name is Susie Jones. I was born and raised in Minneapolis. I went to Marshall U High School. I went to the University of Minnesota. I never thought I'd be a broadcaster, but a teacher in high school told me if I didn't find a way to use my big mouth that I was going to be in trouble. And I said, I have two grown kids and one grandson. That's my intro.
That's great.
I think that's funny.
That is great. You know what else you should put in there?
What?
And I'm fearless, because you are fearless.
I am. I still, you know, I'm not, I mean, I still have insecurity. I don't want anyone to think for 1 minute.
That's different.
I know.
I think that's different.
Okay.
You will go cover the tough stories.
That is true.
You will go say something to anybody. You'll go talk to whatever boss we have.
Right.
You'll tell one of the new employees, you're not very good right now. Tell me what to do.
Yeah.
You'll say anything on the radio.
That is
You'll
true.
Tell all of us to shut up. You'll
that
also tell us that you love us or you'll check in on us.
Yes.
You're the best.
Well, you're so sweet.
Oh, man.
Now I got to find out what time it is, what day, if I'm the right day. Anyway. Wayne's listening. Because I am not tracking very well. Also, did I forget this news?
What if it was last week?
No, I know it's not. I know it's not because Lee just texted me, emailed me. But I got a new phone. I don't know if I told you that. Did I tell you that?
No. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful phone. I got a pink phone with a clear case. So it's really jazzy. And I got an watch to make me exercise.
Oh, Apple Watch.
To make me exercise.
Apple Watch. So it's an iPhone and the Apple Watch?
Yes. And the question...
Wait, is this from one of your encounters? Did one of the guys with the encounters buy you this?
No, that would be scandalous. But I will say the encounter, the latest one, the one that we know, the history, invited me to dinner at his house.
Oh.
That's an update on that one. And
is this the encounter guy, which has turned... You went to a basketball game with him?
Yeah, the same guy. So he reached out and said, do you want to come have dinner at my house? And you know what? Back to my behavior. I went, wah! Something went, wah! Because I know I could probably kick his...
What?
Butt. I shouldn't say that if he's listening. I probably got 30 pounds on him. I could just knock him right over.
I don't think it's going to be like a Greco-Roman wrestling match.
No, but I being in someone's house that I don't know all that well after two times, that I'm not going to do. Why would I risk that? So, what if he stabbed me with a knife and cut me in a whole bunch of pieces and put me down by the Mississippi River?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. You know, Jen, who I did it for 7 years, our first date was at my place.
Oh, and you didn't kill her.
No, she more often wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
To be honest. But yeah, so you're going to. Now, do you have any idea if he's a good cook?
Nobody offered to make whatever I want and asked if I had any food sensitivities. I'm like, yeah, everything. I'll have chicken noodle soup, please.
Just like baked Alaska, caviar.
Break the bank.
Lobster tail.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Be fancy.
Well, anyway, so this is that's my news
updates.
Today.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I may or may not go, and I will let you know. But I'll be gone now, coming up again. I'm leaving.
Yeah. Yeah. When are you leaving? It's a Monday?
A week from Monday. I'm going to Marco. Okay. I love Marco Island. Can't wait.
You and Joel.
Joel and I will have a couple walks on the beach, hand in hand.
Exactly. All right. We'll hear more of Susie in a matter of minutes. It'll be first CBS News, then Susie, then Dean Phillips, and then bottom of the hour next hour, we got a good one for you.
Nice.
So stick around right here on the home of the Twins, CCM.